Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms. This episode of Fat Mascara is sponsored by BetterHelp. Listen, we all carry around different stressors, big and small. Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. Plus, it can help you develop coping skills that make your life easier. I will give you an example. If you've listened to this podcast for a while, you've probably heard me say it to Jess or to a guest, reframe. Well, I learned that technique from a therapist. Here's an example. Now that I'm a freelance writer and podcaster, I get lonely working from home and I feel like I'm never going to get to collaborate on projects again. And that's the truth. Reframe, I get to choose which projects I work on. So I'm in control of what I work on. And if I want to collaborate more with others, I don't have to ask anyone's permission. I can just do it. See what I did there? That's reframing. If you've been thinking about starting therapy or are looking for someone to help you process things and give you coping skills, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/mascara today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/mascara. Again, betterhelp.com/mascara.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. It is an interview day, and this is a biggie. What's up? I'm Jessica.
I'm Jen. Hi, everyone. I'm really excited about this interview.
Okay, this is major, major. Now, there's a funny little backstory here.
Oh, God,
today, okay, Jen, she is flushing. She doesn't even need any of that, like, Selena Gomez rare beauty blush today. Because it's all au naturel, baby. Au naturel. We've got Ben Gorham. He's the guy behind Byredo. He invented it.
Yeah, he did.
So
he's been my beauty crush for like 20 years.
Yeah, just go ahead, Jen. Take it away.
I don't know. Not anymore, but when I was single, do you remember, if you've listened to the show for a while, there was like a good season of Jen's singleness that I talked about Ben.
Like maybe a season. I don't know.
I talked about Ben Gorham like every other episode and how I had such a crush on him. Of course, he was married at the time. I think he already had kids, whatever. I'd interviewed him for like a tattoo magazine and I was like... I just thought I liked his story and I liked that he was an artist. And when I, all right, I'm
she respected him. She respected him for
totally
his mind and his talent.
He's not great looking. He's just not great looking, but I really
he's very handsome.
Him.
Yeah, he is very creative.
Anyway,
he's
we
very
used
talented.
To joke that if we had him as a guest on the show, it'd be ridiculous because I'd be silly. Clearly, I have progressed in the world. I'm a married woman now and I held myself together for this amazing interview. So Jess, why don't you tell everybody who Ben is so they can be in on this whole thing with
Wait,
us.
One more thing. I think what? When I told you I was close to booking him like a few years ago,
yeah,
you like panicked. I thought you'd be excited.
No, I freaked out. Do you remember?
Yeah, you were like, you were not happy.
You know what? And we only recorded in person at that point. And I was like, oh, no. He can't come in our studio. I'm going to sit in a 9-foot by 9-foot room with him. I freaked out. You're right. That's funny.
I know. I thought you would be like proud of me and excited. And it was
meanwhile,
opposite.
Ben and the Byredo company are going to listen to this. And now I'm super embarrassed. That's how we're introducing him.
Well, okay. Let's get to the one I wrote to the intro I wrote down. Okay,
yes, please.
So Ben Gorham, Byredo. He is the founder of Byredo. Yes, it's Byredo. It's not Byredo, right? I was saying Byredo for my entire life. Byredo. He's a line of European luxury goods. God, this sounds so much drier compared to the original.
I'm still blushing. I can't talk. Keep going.
I'm blushing too now. It was founded in 2006. It's best known for its amazing fragrances like Mojave Ghost and Gypsy Water. But the brand also has leather goods, a collaboration with Jen Atkin and Way. And now, drumroll, cosmetic. A collaboration that he did with the makeup artist Isamaya French. It's very, very cool. It just dropped. Byredo has also been one of the most coveted and buzzed about fragrance lines of the 21st century, marketing to an entirely new generation of consumers. Its influence is everywhere. Just go hop around Sephora and you'll see. There's so many like very cool lines that are clearly influenced by Ben.
Ooh, we do talk with him about that too.
Yes. Yeah. And that was a really, really interesting part of the conversation. We can't wait to talk to Ben about how he built his brand and where it's going next. Stick with us. And Ben, thank you so much for coming on the show. This really was a dream.
Thanks, Mr. Gorham.
Here we go. So, Ben, you are a big name in fragrance, but you are not a perfumer per se.
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you found yourself in the fragrance world? Because you come at it from really an unusual background.
Yeah. I mean, it's been 15 years since I started. So trying to remember, I know what I was doing. Most of my life, I was an athlete. I played sports. I went to high school in New York. I went to college in Canada, and I played basketball. And I left college my third year to play professional basketball in Europe. And after a few years, realizing that that wasn't going to work out, I enrolled in art school in Stockholm. Which is actually the place I was born and lived until I was about 11. And upon graduating from art school, I met a perfumer for the first time and became fascinated by smell, as I called it at the time, and specifically the connection between smell and memory. So I embarked on a creative journey where I asked this perfumer to help translate very specific personal memories into smells. And that became the foundation for what was going to be Byredo, the brand.
How did Byredo, first of all, I've been calling it Byredo, I guess incorrectly for, 15 plus years now. But so Byredo, thank you.
Me too. It's like a Spanish accent.
I know. So thank you for correcting me. So Byredo, how did Byredo come to life though? I love this idea of you having this meeting with this perfumer who inspired you to create this brand and you translating these memories, but like it sounds like this was kind of a creative collaboration
project.
How did it come to become a commercial brand? Like I realize that's probably a much bigger kind of like project, or it could be like its own 1-hour podcast in itself. But how did it become a commercial venture?
Yeah, well, no, it's a good question, and I think to be fair, it was completely creatively driven at first. I was fascinated by this invisible medium. I'd gone to school, we studied fine arts, and I'd learned the basics of painting and photography and sketching and sculpture. And here was something completely invisible that evoked so much emotion. So it did start in that very naive, creative place. And I think in that initial project of translating these memories into smells, when I started to show them to people, I started to understand that I had two choices. One was to pursue it as an art. And honestly, most friends that were artists struggled. The other one was to take, you know, all the ambitions and aspirations I had about life and lifestyle and to found a commercial venture or a brand. And I thought, you know, a brand and a company would be a great way to sustain this this interest that had grown into a bit of an obsession.
So it was a choice. Sorry, did you like know business? Did you know like, okay, we're going to get some like business people on board and we're going to brand it? Like, how did you, because honestly, like it's one of the most polished, beautiful, like it's, I think it's a successful brand and such an amazing story for so many reasons. But like this thing was like birthed and it like comes out of the box and it's like, there's no kind of like, oh, you see it and like, oh, look at how the brand was born. And it was this little thing. And then you see it evolved into this like beautiful professional thing. Like it was born and it looked like it had been there a million years. You know, it was so professional from the day it came out.
Well, maybe you didn't see, you know, a lot of people didn't see the first iterations.
I didn't see the beta.
No.
The beta mode.
For sure. You know, it was
Mojave Ghost, like, you know, V1.
The mom and pop version existed somehow. But it had to do with I aspired to luxury and I looked up to luxury brands. And I come from, you know, a relatively, you know, poor, humble background. So like that world was never accessible to me. But I had this aspiration. And I think that fueled the competitive part of me making sure that the product was good enough and that it played in that arena and that it resonated with people emotionally the way that those big brands did. So it was calculated, but it was also a lot of work because, but also the industry at that time, especially fragrance and beauty, which was primarily a licensing business, something that fashion and luxury companies had licensed to beauty groups. There was also this phenomenon of celebrity fragrance. There was also over 500 fragrances being launched every year. There was also, and everything smelled the same. So taking a sensibility, you know, from art and from fashion and the things I like. In hindsight, I can say, well, you know, that was quite clever. But at the time, people just weren't doing that. Fragrance, the industry was doing one thing and they were copying copies. And creativity was not at the forefront. And it wasn't until customers started to say, hey, wait a minute, I want to express my personality by wearing something unique, or I would like, as I spend $2,000 on a pair of shoes, maybe I should spend more than $29 on my fragrance that I put on my skin. And so it was a big change in the way people perceived fragrance. And I think it went from, you know, people wanting to smell like everybody else as a form of inclusion to it becoming fragrance and smell becoming a point of difference, and the importance of the individual and being unique and expressing yourself. And I think, you know, timing was impeccable for me founding this brand and then riding a wave of change in an industry allowed us to commercially have a success, which I'm grateful for.
You brought up two concepts that are sort of at odds with each other. One is luxury, and you said you wanted it to be aspirational, but yet you also are talking about inclusivity, and I've heard you say you want it to be an inclusive luxury brand. So what does that mean, and how do you reconcile those two things when before luxury was, by its nature, exclusive?
I think I redefined what luxury was to me. You know, I looked at it and I said, you know, there were these industry pillars, and you know, scarcity or scarcity was one, and price was another, and heritage, pedigree was another. For me, it was about quality, and it was about authenticity. So the products needed to have a reason for being. And you know, as you guys described this as a very like personal approach to something, that was partly the reason for being out the gate, was that these emotions and these smells, yeah, they were tied to me as a person, you know, so they were in essence authentic. And secondly, even though packaging and typeface and everything is quite simple and quite clean, you know, I designed a typeface from scratch. I worked meticulously to make sure that the magnets and the caps had the right pressure for women's hands and men's hands and big men's hands like my own. So, you know, and also more importantly, when it came to the raw materials and the fragrances themselves, I was able to work with Roberté, a fragrance house, which is, you know, world leading and the biggest when it comes to naturals. And I was able to access the highest quality of raw materials. So I spent a lot of not only my budget, but a lot of my time focusing on the juice. And I felt at the end of the day that selling somebody a product once was doable, but these repeat purchases and getting people to commit to the signature of these smells, that required uniqueness and a certain level of quality. So in terms of, you know, what luxury was for me, it was very much about the quality of this product and its reason for being.
Right, not some club that you have to buy into.
In regards to, you know, the inclusivity, that club, that's very much how I perceived luxury, as a stiff, elitist cultural nerve, something that excluded people for all kinds of reasons, including, you know, diversity or origin, including income. And I, you know, I wanted this brand to be inclusive as a culture. I wanted the ideas that I explored to relate to people in general on a human level, not in terms of, you know, flying private or dining at that restaurant in Paris or... So I tried to apply a very kind of universal idea to storytelling. And that spoke to the inclusivity of what I was trying to do.
Can I ask you, I know Jen is about to ask another question, but just before we get off this topic, what would, you know, you said you, when you were younger or like, you know, you were interested in like the idea of aspiration when you were creating this brand. Were there any brands, because I love your idea of like what is luxury and that you were trying to create something that was a different idea of luxury in the fragrance business. When you were younger and thinking about what a luxury brand is, what brands spoke to you?
Well, I think...
Because it seems like you were turned off by some of the, you know, old ideas of luxury.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, what brands were you into?
You know, it was less about being turned off and more about questioning the cultural relevance of some of these brands. Mm-hmm. I looked at a brand like Hermès and I would think a great heritage and a great craft and one of the few true luxury brands because they've maintained their craft moving forward. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe not in the fragrance or beauty aspect of what they do, but in terms of leather, the savoir-faire existed. I looked at Chanel. I thought when I spoke to anybody about fragrance, Chanel was at the top of the list. It became kind of an icon, you know, with almost 100 years of history commercially in perfume. You know, that represented a form of archetype. the way that they worked graphically was very precise, something that, you know, most people may not notice. But as I would, you know, obsess and stare and read and try to understand what the ingredients were, the way that they approached packaging over, you know, their history is quite impressive. And then, you know, it could be, it could also be a cobbler in London. It could also be, you know, a pizza guy in Tokyo. It was very like craft oriented too. And I think that shift from big brands to the specialist, that was also happening at a time. So I enjoyed, you know, I enjoyed traveling to Tokyo to be able to go to that store to buy that perfect white t-shirt. So, you know, so there were many like cultural nerves to what I was doing at the time. But I think, you know, when I moved to Canada, I was probably 11 or 12, and then I moved to New York. But coming to North America, I think coming from a, you know, a socialist, like simple life in Sweden, and coming to America and then learning that some people, that there were the haves and have nots, that became quite like clear to me as a teenager. And I remember thinking about what allowed certain people to have things and other people not to have things.
You're doing a very good job at putting these really hard concepts into words, which makes me realize why you're good at putting emotions into fragrance, which feels so difficult, like capturing even that emotion you were just talking about of like, wow, there's inequality in the world. Could that be a perfume? You know, I'm thinking about, what have been some of the most difficult memories to put into a bottle? And I know some things are private, so they'll never be a Byredo fragrance. But of the fragrances that are out there, what were really difficult to sort of turn into
the thing to remember also is that I started knowing nothing about perfumery, nothing about fragrance, nothing about it. It was all,
difficult.
To be honest, I still know very little, but there was a learning curve. And I think there is a distinction in when I am, the early work was very much about translating very tangible, specific memories. And I could create a brief for the perfumer that consisted of a time period, a person, describing a smell, an object or a raw material or a geographical location. And I think when it became difficult, when I truly started to feel like it was challenging, is when I tried to approach or integrate this abstract idea of emotions. And also then adding a level of fiction or aspiration to it. All of a sudden, when I was in this abstract realm, I would sit down with the perfumer and say, hey, you know, we should add it needs to smell more like love. You know, and then realizing that his idea of love was very different than mine. And then starting to understand that.
Right. What does love smell like to you?
Different now than it was 15 years ago, but to me, it smells like my wife now. I mean, it's tied very much to the love of my life. But as you get into like emotions, you truly understand the subjective nature of smell.
What was the perfumer giving you?
He was giving me probably, yeah, what we've been programmed to think love is. So he was trying to approach it in an objective way. And I wasn't so interested in that. So I had to find new ways of defining that. So as opposed to saying love, I would say, hey, this is my wife. This is what she's like. This is what she wears. This is the life she lives. This is how she smells, or this is how she makes me feel. And then, you know, I was expanding the depth of these briefs. And this is also why I chose to work with, you know, primarily two perfumers throughout the history of this brand, is because I felt that line of communication and that mutual understanding was everything, because this person was responsible for translating my emotions into a smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are there any like fragrances where, I mean, I feel like I've heard people call all of your fragrances like, oh, this one's my favorite, that one's my favorite. I don't think there's one fragrance that To me, they're all successes. But is there one that you feel like, wow, this one is a bigger success than I anticipated? Kind of like a dark horse.
No, but there is a few that are bigger failures than I ever considered they would be commercially. Mm. Work that I thought was extremely beautiful and almost avant-garde by nature, they just didn't resonate with people because they were too extreme. One example is a fragrance I did with two friends of mine, a design duo out of Paris called MM Paris. And we created a fragrance called Mink, which was short for MM Ink, which was based on a very specific calligraphy ink that a Japanese artist had brought us. And it was a very beautiful, very creative fragrance, but extremely polarizing. And just nobody buys it. And I really thought that, you know, there'd be at least a small group of people committed to this idea of obscure smells. But and in terms of successes, yeah, you know, one of the, because I work with one perfumer and because we had an idea about creating a signature almost, or a style of fragrance, which was very much about simplifying. So very beautiful raw materials, lots of naturals, but very simple formulas, allowing all these raw materials to have enough space to express themselves. We found that a lot of people also were able to buy a fragrance and then move on to another one and try one and find a new fragrance. So there is kind of a style of fragrance that you'll find when you go through the Byredo fragrances. And that's allowed us to keep up, as opposed to that rule of, you know, one fragrance accounting for 80% of your sales. I'd probably say we have 7 or 8 that account for 80% of our sales.
You said that the emotions are hard to put into a fragrance, like love, for example. What about memories? Was there a particular memory that you had to go through so many iterations with the perfumer to get it right?
Yeah, definitely. But I think, you know, if I take it, you know, step back, my idea with the link between smell and memory was I wanted to, even though these memories were personal, I wanted to tap into something that I defined as a collective memory. And with that, I mean, I recreated the place where my mother was born and raised in India as a smell. And even though that was my mother, it tapped into this collective memory of India. And I felt that that was important because most people could say, oh yeah, India, smell, that says something to me. And that would have them engaging with product. So sometimes creating that approach to things made it difficult because I was also tapping into, in terms of the perfumer, I was tapping into general ideas like India. And it became clear that his memory of India was different than mine. So that meant, you know, and specifically, you know, India was, it was called Anson Chembur. And Chembur was the place where my mother was born and raised. And I described a very specific place and a very specific incense tied to the temples in that area. And I linked spices and ingredients that were close to my family and the way that we lived. So they were all difficult. And it is the tedious part of the process is not designing packaging or even formulating, you know, an idea on paper. The difficulty is when you start the many iterations with back and forths with the perfumer to adjust the smell.
You mentioned India. I imagine did you visit there when you were growing up?
Yes, many times as a child.
So is that sounds like it was an influential scent in your childhood. What are some other scents that sort of growing up influenced you? Or influence the work you do now?
Well, I think, you know, I captured the smell of how I remember my father smelling. He left the family when I was quite young, but the way he smelled was very distinct and stayed with me, you know, forever and still does to this day. That's I recreated that at some point as a smell.
How does he smell? If you had to describe it. Don't give me the packaging description. Give me the Ben description.
Well, you know what? It was a very emotional. That was a very emotional project. I think everything was, you know, it was a bit like writing your biography. You know, it was therapeutic somehow to go through all these memories and things that were distinct to you, and they started, you know, naturally very close to you with family and with me, the relationship with, you know, my parents. That one was complex because I remember him smelling of a perfume that I didn't know what it was. So I described, not only did I describe, you know, he was an avid smoker, and I described, you know, clear memories of him wearing leather gloves and making, you know, snowballs in the snow, and that mix between wet snow and tobacco. But also something that I felt smelled like a green bean almost. And I think that clue led the perfumer to understand that one of the biggest commercial fragrances in the world at that time was called Gray Flannel by Jeffrey Bean, an American designer, which later was kind of reiterated as became the basis for a fragrance at Christian Dior called Fahrenheit. So, you know, it was a great fragrance at the time, and most people wore it. So that was also an ingredient in that fragrance. So I'm rambling a little bit, but it's
which
also
was
just
an ingredient? The green beanie smell?
Yeah.
Was the put into your version. Smell. And which fragrance, what's the name of that fragrance?
It was the called Green. Green. I actually had to discontinue it because I fell out with my dad. No, I'm kidding.
Oh.
But no.
I was like, you're, no. He's done. His fragrance is over.
He's done. No. No, it just, you know, I really enjoy creating fragrance. So I have, some people will take years to make a fragrance. I've become quite efficient. So I've also felt like I have all these ideas that I want to get out there and get people to try. So I've developed a fair amount of fragrances over the last few years.
So you have to edit continuously, huh?
I have to edit to make sure I have money to make new ones.
Summer is fast approaching, which means it's shapewear season. Just kidding. It's really wedding season. But I just got an invitation to a wedding in Philadelphia, and guess what I'll be wearing? Honey Love. I'm not sure about the rest of the outfit or the dress, but the shapewear is going to be Honey Love. Here's why. Honey Love has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating when you're wearing shapewear. Plus, they have lingerie-inspired design details that you'll want to show off, and all their fabrics are breathable to keep you nice and cool, which is perfect for hot days. Let me tell you a story. I remember being at a wedding, this was a few years ago, pre-Honeylove, and I wore a jumpsuit, and I wasn't sure if the bathroom door locked well, but I had to take off the entire jumpsuit and then roll down the shapewear to pee, and I was like holding onto the back of the door at the same time, completely naked in the bathroom, and it took so long, and I caused this whole backup of the bathroom line, and after that, I was like, never again. Until Honeylove came along. Honeylove's superpower shorts have a 100% cotton gusset, so you don't have to wear underwear underneath. And there's a convenient opening in the underwear area, so you don't have to take off the whole thing to go to the bathroom. It's so easy. Honeylove products make you look good and feel good, whether it's for a wedding, event, an everyday boost of confidence. Honeylove is the perfect plus one. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/mascara. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off. That's honeylove.com/mascara. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. honeylove.com/mascara for 20% off. The summer vibes are just getting started, so shape your life with Honeylove.
Hey, Hey everyone, it's Jen, and I have decided this is going to be the summer of uniform dressing. I'm going to have a few pieces on heavy rotation, and I'm telling you right now, they're all going to be linen, and they're all going to be from Quince. I don't know why I'm going so hard on linen right now, but it just feels right. And Quince specializes in timeless pieces made of premium fabric, and the best part is that all the Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30. I am personally very into the 100% European linen pants. They're cropped and easy. There's even a cute pinstriped version. And when I wear them, I look like I just stepped off a yacht. Do I have a yacht? No. Do I know what yachters wear? No, but that's the vibe. The linen pants come in sizes extra small to 3X, and they're less than $40. Okay, like 10 cents less. They're $39.90. But the quality is excellent, and they wash really well. How does Quince do it? They cut out the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to us. Plus, Quince works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/fatmascara for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com, Q-U-I-N-C-E, quince.com/fatmascara to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/fatmascara.
Okay, everyone, I am one of those people who, when it comes to wellness, sorry, but it's got to fit into the pockets of my day. 5 minutes here, 7 minutes there, when I'm like in the kitchen and I'm microwaving something long, it's got to be convenient. And that is why Alo Moves works for me. My mindset has changed. The app makes it easy for me to keep my wellness routine on track because they have everything in one place and bite-sized little bits. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, self-care tips, healthy recipes, so much more. From beginner to advanced, Alo Moves has the flow or class that's going to fit into your schedule. Their classes range from 5 minutes to an hour, depending on what you're feeling that day.
You know what feeling I'm feeling most days? I'm feeling 10 minutes. I've been doing Joanna Thompson's. Right, that's about it.
Yeah, that's good.
10 minutes. Joanna Thompson does these yoga lattes in 10. One day will be abs. One day will be arms. Today, Jess, is booty day. And we're just going to get it done all in 10 minutes. If you're trying to get a good sweat, then you've got to try their award-winning workouts like the sweat-inducing yoga flows or the reformer Pilates workouts without weights. You can also find stress relief with meditations, affirmations, face yoga, gua sha, learn to do dry brushing. How many times have we talked about dry brushing on this podcast? Alo Moves will teach you how to do it.
Unlock your personal wellness routine with Alo Moves. Go to alomoves.com now and use the code MASCARA20 for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership. That's alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. alomoves.com, code MASCARA20. You have another venture that you are you've just launched. You just did a collaboration, Byredo's first color line, your first makeup line, with Isamaya French, the makeup artist. So I'm curious how this collaboration came about. Like, how did you guys meet? Have you been wanting to do a makeup line? I mean, when do you have time? Like
about 5 years ago, I felt that makeup could be a great physical manifestation of beauty at Byredo. And the initial challenge was that I'd never worn makeup. And so I had a hard time relating to it as a category emotionally. And after a few months of research and experimenting, I felt like, you know, maybe I couldn't do it myself. So I put it on ice. And about 2 years after that, I came across the work of Isamaya on Instagram, actually. A friend of mine said, you should look at this. And, you know, being drawn to it instantly for its, you know, creativity was one part of it. But I also started to feel like the person that was doing this was very interesting and that they had a similar outsider perspective to makeup as I had had to fragrance at one point. And we had a common friend, so I reached out and I eventually met her in person. And it started more as, you know, just creative discussions about what she does and what we do. And to be honest, it took a few months of convincing, because she wasn't so keen on just doing another makeup line. And it wasn't until she understood that Barbido was a very different beast, and that the framework for what we wanted to do with color would be completely different than probably anything she'd done for other big brands. And it started in just defining, you know, common ground, and understanding that we had to approach this as we did with fragrance in a completely emotional way.
Yeah.
And less about the function of makeup or the solution of makeup that many people sell today.
Well, I love, I've tried the line. I love the color sticks. You know, anyone who's listening and they want to know, what is this line? Why do I need it? What should I try? You have these great color sticks, which are just kind of like these play sticks. They're like kind of like eyes, lips, cheeks, wear them wherever you like. So you talk about the function of makeup, not telling you what to do with them. They're just sticks of color that you can kind of apply anywhere. Is that the best description, Ben?
That's it. For the color stick.
Do I have a job writing copy for you?
I
try them anywhere.
You're going to have to send me some looks. But it's 16 color sticks. As you mentioned, you know, you wear them on your lip, eye or cheek. And they really considered, you know, all skin types. And they considered that that people could use vibrant color to express themselves in very innovative ways. So it is somehow an open source system.
So fragrance is, you know, the category was not having an easy time before the pandemic, definitely having a hit now. That's no secret to our listeners. But what do you think fragrance needs to do to stay relevant right now? Not just Byredo.
There's a girl on my team named Annie, and she's always saying, we got to break the smell screen barrier. You know, like it's going to be very much about that. It's going to be, there's been a fast forward in the evolution of digital and e-com. Fragrance as an industry is going to have to find ways to communicate smells in a new way. And I also think there's been such a, you know, just in the last few years, there's been such a big shift, continued shift in the market. Consumers are savvy. They want products of a certain quality, and they don't want to smell like everybody else. So I think brands are going to have to continue innovating, continue inspiring, and making product that speaks to what people want today. So I think it's been a relatively stale industry, and I think it's got to be picked up a bit. And then in terms of, you know, a pandemic, who knows what's going to come out of this? I just know that if people are stuck at home, I was worried that people weren't going to be wearing fragrance. But it was quite the opposite. Fragrance has become an emotional part of people's routines. And I expect, I've seen some of the numbers from makeup, but the same thing. If people are sitting at home, do they put makeup on? Maybe not as much. But I think once they let out the house, they're going to be real happy to put some lipstick on. So I expect things to change or normalize to a certain degree.
You've done a lot of collaborations. You listed some of them, Isamaya, obviously. Do we hear you saying there's going to be like a tech collaboration in the future? Like who's the dream venture for the future?
Well, I think we're all have to going to be more techy in our approach, to be honest. But I think...
I want the smell-o-vision. I need you to invent it.
Yeah,
please.
I know. Unfortunately, you know...
Give it a better name,
I racked
though.
My brain around that one many years ago. And because of the... you know, the depth of that category, I don't think we'll get there in a tech.
It'll be a platform for you, if not maybe. Inventing it.
How about that? I do think is interesting, though, is that people are starting to think about what they smell. And that level of awareness is really interesting. We have customers that come in and now know not only what fragrance family they gravitate towards, they know the smell of certain ingredients. And I think as that awareness or level of awareness of smell, as it is with, you know, as we're programmed visually with so much, we start to learn more about smell. And I think that'll make it easier for people to make decisions, you know, in a virtual way as well.
Jess, do you want to go ahead and do our little speed round? We have a fun brain experiment for you to end our interview.
So what is the first beauty or grooming product you ever fell in love with?
Like true love?
Like the one you were first obsessed with, the one that ignited your passion for the industry.
Just the speed round?
It's the thoughtful round.
It's the first thing that comes to your mind.
First time I smelled the fragrance candle, it smelled like apple pie. I was blown away that smell could be so accurate.
Was it like a Yankee candle or was it just like a...
It was one of those, like pretty much, you know.
Like a mall
candle. I was like, wow, this is unbelievable.
11-year-old Ben at the like
and
Toronto.
Then from there, Byredo was born. Oh my God. When are we getting that Byredo?
10 years later.
Are we going to get like an apple pie Byredo candle? Like the more like elevated version?
Maybe when I become old or nostalgic enough, you might.
Just in time for the holidays. Oh my God. Yeah. Give us the pandemic Byredo candle, that comfort food we all want. Oh my God. Okay. Who is the celebrity you just know you'd be best friends with?
Lenny Kravitz.
It's going to be hard. Lenny Kravitz?
Lenny Kravitz.
Okay. I can see that. I was hoping for some like weird like comedian. Like someone goofy. Like I wanted a surprise. I thought it was going to be someone like a weird surprise. Like you love like, I don't know, like Will Ferrell or someone. That face is not telling me Will Ferrell.
He's on brand.
Lenny Kravitz makes sense to me. That face is that's like not Will Ferrell.
We'll allow it.
All right.
Okay. What is your most favorite indulgent snack?
These are hard. Favorite indulgence. Ice cream.
Flavor.
Ben and Jerry's.
Which flavor?
What's the one I like? what's the super popular
Chunky
one?
Monkey?
The Grateful Dead one?
No, not Chunky Monkey.
American Cone.
Fish food? Cookies? Chocolate chip cookie dough?
Night, whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what it's called.
I feel like we're not.
Oh, that's a goodie.
Half baked.
That is actually the best.
Right.
What's the song that pumps you up? I'm loving watching your face through all these, the stress. Making fragrances is easier.
There was a song. There was a rap song called Bigger Than Hip Hop by a group called Dead Prez that came out when I was in high school.
Okay. I don't know that one, but I'll give a listen. Okay. And what do you want to raise a wand to? Now this is like, what do you want to shout out? What do you want to like pump up? What are you obsessed with?
It could be a movement, a person.
Black Lives Matter. Finally.
Raise a wand to Black Lives Matter. Okay. That's excellent.
Without a doubt.
Love it. Thank you.
Okay. I want to picture you with the perfumer and the exercises you do together to translate them into scent. I imagine they're much harder than this just was, right?
Yeah, but I have like a month to formulate them.
It's the pressure.
It's the time constraint, the problem here. Who doesn't work well under pressure?
I've been doing this for 15, you know, this is a slow build. For 15 years, I've been tweaking this brand. It's one of the things that I try to explain to people is that, you know, I've been doing the same thing for 15 years, obsessively looking at the packaging and the box and the smells I'm slow at most things.
Do you look at other brands and say that looks a little bit like Byredo?
Lately?
Yeah.
First I would I think it started a few years ago. It was so blatant. Mm-hmm. And I took it really personally.
Like in a good way or a bad way? You got mad or
no, in a bad way. I got mad, yeah. And then I just kind of relaxed. And I thought, we're inspiring people to not only to buy things, also to make things. And I think today it doesn't really bother me that much. And I think being authentic and original, most people know the difference. So I don't worry about it too much.
That's an excellent reframe. Well done.
So, yeah, I got through it. You see that? See how professional I was?
I mean, it's hot in here.
I mean, the man has no idea I had like a beauty crush on him. I mean, he does now because he heard the intro, but like, I'm really proud of myself for keeping it together. That's all I'm going to say. You ready to raise a wand?
I'm ready to raise a wand. But it is something when someone has talent and, is attractive and they're nice.
Wait, this is funny. And now I'm thinking this might be a subconscious thing, but the product I'm raising a wand to is in honor of my husband. That's right. I'm a married woman right now.
Oh, Eric. So, we love Eric.
I know. It's funny. Like my crush went away once I got married. It was just like us talking about how I used to be that made it funny again. Anyway, love my husband. Love when he gets into a beauty or grooming product because he's a very low maintenance kind of guy. He has a new toothbrush. It's called the Bruche, I believe. It has two U's with a little umlaut. Mm. It's a sonic toothbrush. $79, first of all. It's like half the price of some of those really fancy ones. Here's the thing. I love this man to death. He would never change the head of a toothbrush unless bought the tooth. You know, like he would just keep brushing with it. And I think that they have the subscription.
Oh, no, Eric. No.
I know.
Must change.
They have this. So they just come. So you're like forced to have good oral hygiene, which is great.
Yeah.
But the other thing I really like is that we have another brand of toothbrush, the one that I still use because mine still works, but he got this because his old one broke. And when you put the thing on the charger, it makes this weird residue that builds up on the charger, I guess because of the electricity and the water. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I totally know.
This has a nice flat charger, so it doesn't get as much residue. And if it does, you could just wipe it off. It's not like those other ones where it gets all gooped up inside the little hole in the bottom of the thing. Ugh. I know that's a weird talking point to be like, buy this toothbrush because, but like, I thought that was pretty cool. And here I am raising one to my husband's new favorite product, the Bruche toothbrush. I'll put a link on the blog.
I think
you just put on a lipstick as I was talking, and it looks gorgeous.
Oh, thank you. No, I was going to mention this Fresno Raise one, but it's discontinued, so I don't want to like taunt our listeners.
Okay.
Like
so, what are you raising them on to?
Wait, just really quick. I do think that it's the fact that the brush is easy to clean any kind of weird residue. I think that's a major because no one needs to when you're cleaning your teeth look at some funky
crusty stuff on the bottom of the thing.
That is so disgusting.
I know. I'm just being real. Like that.
I know exactly.
Anybody
who
has an electric toothbrush knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, no, that's defeats the whole purpose of you want
oral hygiene.
Yeah,
it's unhygienic.
Exactly. Okay, the Bruche. I like that. I actually
I'm
in the market for a new electric toothbrush. So that's awesome. So my razor wand is not a beauty product. It's actually a piece of jewelry, but you don't have to get the piece of jewelry that I've chosen for myself. It's a website that I'm obsessed with. It's called Girls Crew, which feels like a little juvenile.
Giggles, but I like good giggles. Go ahead.
I feel like
Girls Crew. Yeah. Girls Crew. Like it has a jingle in my head.
Yeah, the demo is I think for the 20, early 20s Instagram shopper.
I liked Claire's, but now I'm all grown up.
Yeah, exactly. It's very cool girl Instagram shopper.
Okay.
But they targeted me because they clearly know my aesthetic on Instagram.
Okay.
Which is delicate rings and like little delicate jewelry with like a whimsical touch.
Yeah, yeah, it is. With like a rose gold with like a little vintage like inspiration. Mm-hmm. But go on,
yeah.
Go on.
So of course, like I felt seen. And I was also very excited that so much of the jewelry was under $50.
Okay.
So I started buying some pieces from them this year when I needed some retail therapy. Mm-hmm. And then of course, then I get like texts from them that's like, only tonight, flash sale.
I got to get on that. It's only tonight.
Exactly.
So like the next
one's
night.
Not coming.
Only tonight, flash sale.
Yeah, exactly. So I have a couple of pieces from them. I like this ring that I got. It has, I'm so original, a moon.
Oh, it's celestial. It's very like Charlotte Tilbury vibes. Like, you know,
yes.
She, like, has rose gold celestial vibes. She always has the best jewelry when you see her in person.
Yes. It's a lot of celestial. They also had for the summer, they had a lot of fruit. Like, they had like a whole fruit basket theme, like pears, grapes, like kind of like cute stuff that you don't really see everywhere. Mm-hmm. And like I said, a lot of stuff is under $50. So if you need a little retail therapy, pick me up, check it out. Mm-hmm. I just think it's fun. And you know, like Jen laughed at me because I described it before. It's like, it's really great costume jewelry. Do people not say that anymore?
I don't know. I just think it's like a thing moms say. I guess because once you have real jewelry, like once you're like a more mature woman who has like expensive jewelry, then the other stuff becomes costume jewelry.
Oh, it's my costume that I mix with like my like three pieces of real jewelry. Yeah,
it just sounds old fashioned.
I guess that sometimes I'm old fashioned. I mix it. I think it like, look, I doesn't that look cool?
That looks like real gold. Yeah.
Yeah. So I mix it with like, if you wear a wedding band or something and mix it with the other stuff and it looks actually nicer than it is.
Girlscrew.com.
Can I tell you something really funny? Just really quick.
Yeah.
So when Joan Rivers was alive and she sold her stuff on, I believe, QVC, mm-hmm. So she said, obviously her stuff was costume. She said, when somebody asks you, is it real jewelry? You say, yeah, yeah, it's real jewelry. Because like, yeah, it's real jewelry.
Okay.
I love that.
No costume as modifier necessary.
Yeah, it's real. Exactly. It's real jewelry.
That's the new Girls Crew tagline. Girls Crew.
It's real. It's real jewelry. I love that. It's like, F you, it's real.
Oh my God. I love you.
Okay.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
We hope you enjoyed the show. It's your reviews and feedback that help us make the podcast even better. Head over to iTunes to rate and review us or email your thoughts to info@fatmascara.com.
We also want to answer your beauty questions and hear what products you love. To share a Raise a Wand product review or to ask a beauty question, email us at info@fatmascara.
If you send it as a voice memo file, we can even share your voice on the podcast. You can also do that by leaving us a voice message. Our phone number in the United States is 646-481-8182.
Thanks so much for listening.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Your personal info, like addresses, phone numbers, and more, are collected and sold by data brokers. But Aura steps in, scanning the web, sending you alerts, and requesting your info be removed. Get Aura's full toolkit, including credit and transaction monitoring, a password manager, VPN, and more. Get a 14-day free trial at aura.com/safety. That's aura.com/safety.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. on Be My Guest, the podcast. New friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.